Now joining us to continue this look back, he is Dave Babich here on Flashback Friday. How's it going, Dave?
Not bad. How are you guys?
We're doing well. I know a lot of fans look back on that run to the Stanley Cup final fondly. For you, as a member of that team, how do you look back on what happened?
I don't want to get beeped here, but of course you look at it fondly, but
disappointing the way it ended. Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, it still stings, and I know probably people go, what the hell are you whining about? But you know what? If we would have won, and we should have won, it would have changed a lot of people's careers, lives, all kinds of stuff. So you never know how it ended. And I'm not saying in a monetary way, but, you know, a lot of people, you know, their careers were kind of in the twilight at that time. And, it would have topped it off where guys just, you know, go away in the sunset with a Stanley Cup ring.
Absolutely. And let's go back into time here, because heading into that season, there were some expectations on the team. What was the mood around the team before the season started? Because it turned out differently in the regular season a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah, well, you know what? And that stretch there, probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, you know, maybe a touch longer. We all knew we had an excellent team. You know, you had, a legitimate superstar in Pavel. You know, you had, you know, Kirk and Net, you know, who's still, you know, probably sits there and, you know, almost too cool and have a smoke at the same time when things are, all this kind of chaos is happening around him. He's still like that, but you know what, you had those two cogs, and then you had a whole bunch of guys that were brought together, you know, by Pat and I guess Berkey and you had George McPhee in the mix too, and all that kind of stuff. But a lot of, like, if I recall, I could be wrong, that there was probably, I think, 12 or 13, like, first round picks, you know, brought from other teams, you know, but there was just some quality players, but you know, the difference was, is these guys were, you know, real experienced players, but quality people too. And, you know, we all got along so well, you know, and I mean, everyone always says that, but it, you know, it's definitely true.
Was there a point or a moment that you guys realized you had something special, or did it take until the playoffs that you really started feeling like you could get on a roll?
No, I think we always knew we had a terrific team. That's all it takes. It's, you know, there's so many ebbs and flows with when the season starts, and, you know, it's the same now. You know, there's you know, you start the season gangbusters. You know, there's a little lull, and then Christmas comes, and all of a sudden, you know, you're kind of looking forward to a break. So, you know, there's a blitz there. And then after Christmas and, you know, towards All-Star break, there's a little bit of a lull. And then, you know, then the playoff picture kind of comes into the picture, where all of a sudden now you're trying to, you know, fit yourself in where you would like. I mean, I think did we come in eighth in the –
or seventh.
We just kind of snuck in, which was ridiculous. And we should have been, you know, one of the top teams like we were a couple of years before. But it's just one of those things. I can't remember, you know, if it was due to injuries or it was just, you know, we just didn't perform right. And, you know, we just had to clean up a few areas in our game. And, you know, luckily enough, we did going into the first round.
Well, let's talk about that first round. You guys played the Calgary Flames in the first round, went down 3-1 to the Flames in that series. How did you guys turn around? Because was there a specific moment that you guys had a chance to come back in that series? What do you pinpoint that down to?
You know, it's hard to say. I think we always played the same. You know, I think a lot of times you just don't get the breaks. But then, you know, you got – now, I can't remember who scored the overtime winner in game five. Was that Courtnell? Anyway, Courts came up big for us, you know, Cliffy Ronning, you know, Greg Adams, but Courts, you know, he would come down and take, you know, his patented slap shot, you know, and pick the top corner. Normally it would go over the net and around the boards and out of their zone. So, But he came down just timely goals. And, you know, once you get one in overtime, all of a sudden, oh boy, here we go. You know, we got a chance. We go home, you know, and obviously we got a better chance to win at home, you know. And then game seven, it's a crapshoot. I remember, you know, Pat Quinn goes, listen, you guys pack because, you know, we'll be going to Dallas after we win the game. And everyone's like, okay. You know, and it's not that you doubt what you're going to do, but, you know, you go, okay, well, I guess, you know, you have to prepare. And sure enough, you know, when we went to, I think it was double overtime and, you know, Pavel scored, then, you know, that was it. So now we just felt invincible.
Well, you had a role to play in that most famous goal as well, probably one of the more iconic goals in Vancouver Canucks history. Brown to Burry, of course, but you had a role in that goal as well. Got a secondary assist on that. You're the one who passed it to Jeff Brown. How do you remember that playing that goal?
Well, I think I was getting towards the bench, and I think Brownie just came out on the ice. You know, so I, you know, get the puck. You know, it was a smart play to give it to Brownie because he was open. But it just, you know, just happened to be that, you know, you delayed long enough for Pavel to get that speed going up the middle. And, geez, when he gets it there and it's on the tape, like, you know, he's going to take it and do his thing. And obviously he did. Yeah, it was like secondary assist, I guess. I could have dumped it in and got one too. But yeah, no, it was, it was great that just to be part of it. Hey. But, you know, it was better to see it go in and then, you know, Pavel's jumping all over you and the guys are, you know, that excited and away you go.
Yeah, don't sell yourself short on that one. Now, Dave, you listen to Reach Deep. We're joined by Dave Babich chatting about the 1994 Stanley Cup final run that the Vancouver Canucks had. 25 years now, basically, the Canucks were playing that series against the Calgary Flames. Next round, you end up playing the Dallas Stars, and the Stars won game one, but you guys had control of that series. And the moment that stands out for a lot of Canucks fans is the elbow on Shane Chirla by Pavel Bure. Chirla was going out of his way to kind of annoy and harass Bure. Did you know that was coming? Was Pavel fed up by Shane Chirla?
Well, I think every team, you know, either way it goes, you know, you always try to get under the skin of the top players, and somebody is designated to do that. And then, of course, collectively, you try to do it also. But Pavel, tough man, you know, like he never took any crap from anyone. And when that happened, like I played with Shane in Hartford, and he is a tough kid for sure. And I was on the ice when, you know, I had a pretty good view of Pavel doing that. And I'm like, oh my God, I hope he doesn't get up. Cause you know, I might have to jump in there and start wrestling around with him. But yeah, no, Pavel made sure it was a one and done. And I mean, now he'd get life for it, you know, but then, you know, it was, I don't want to say it was in the flow of the game, but you know what, it was one of those things where, you know, everyone at that time, even all the superstars, you know, you have to stick up for yourselves.
Dave Babich, our guest, as we look back on the 94 run to the Stanley Cup final with the Vancouver Canucks. And then you guys head off to Toronto and you lose game one. But, you know, knowing the rivalry between the two cities, you know, you guys go on and win four straight after that. Did the team feel that, you know, that rivalry, and did it help you along in the series against a pretty good Toronto team at the time?
Yeah, well, no, I think there, you know, there's always a rivalry, you know, it's Montreal, Toronto, right? And it's more because, you know, everyone grows up watching those teams, and you know, there is an aura around them, whether it's deserved or not. But playing those guys, and they were good. They had a terrific team, but you know, losing the first game, and it's just the way we were rolling. You know, it really didn't matter. I don't think it affected us at all. But yeah, we took it to them. You know, we had a real big team, real tough team, and you know, when you start, you know, you put pressure. I think Gilmore was there, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was still on that team. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so you know, you start beating up on these guys, and not. I'm not talking about, you know, punching them in the head or whatever. Like, you know,
you owned them. You guys owned them.
Well, we did, but you know what? And I'll go back to the Dallas series. Gerald Diddick and I, we had the job of Modano and Courtnell. And honestly, after the first couple of games, I know Modano didn't want the puck because we found every rib, you know, under his arm with a little cross check here or there. And, you know, even Courts, I only met him after. I didn't know him at the time. And there was one time, it was one of the games in Vancouver, one of the later games. And he cross checked me going to the bench. And I know I was being stupid and being a little rough on both of them. And he cross checked me, and all he did was he was swearing at me. Didn't say anything else. He was just swearing. I think he just had it. And so you know that, you know, you wear those guys down. The same thing in Toronto. You know, you have assignments to make sure that you're tough on certain people. And, you know, in a long series like that, you can wear them down, you know, just by, you know, taking them out properly. Like I said, maybe, you know, find where they don't have any padding and things like that. And you know, finishing the check every time. And, you know, it does work. You know, maybe it sounds a little barbaric, and I was never a fighter, but you know what, you know, you knew how to put pressure on people, especially with a partner like Didick. And, you know, we had some other great defensemen too, but, you know, with Dids and I, we had a mutual understanding of what we needed to do.
Absolutely. It was a different game back then as well. You could get away with those things. Can't so much anymore. Let's move on to the Stanley Cup final. You get the Rangers. Basically, looking at that roster now, it looks like an all-star team. What was your guys' mentality when you knew that you had to play the Rangers next?
Well, you know what? I don't think they really fazed us at all. I think, you know, more of the just being in the finals was something that, you know, we kind of had to get the jitters out of just in the situation we were in. Yeah, but you're right. Those guys, you go down the whole list and terrific team. But I think, you know, they would do the same with us. You know, I think there was a mutual respect. You know, I think, you know, I mean, Keenan got all the credit for coaching that team. Boy, I think they just opened the doors and let the lines out themselves, and probably was safer that way. But we, you know what, I think that series, I think it stands out the most. I think we, between game 6 and 7, and there's other things that, you know, affected the series, but between game 6 and 7, I think there's 2 days off, if I'm not mistaken. And most of the games were just one day, and I think that gave them enough rest, because I know they were hurting. And I think we had their number by coming back, you know, 5 and 6. And, you know, just a bounce here or there, and things would have changed. But, yeah, it's still a bugger. You know, you guys are, yeah, I mean, I got a tear in my eye here talking with you guys about it. You know, thanks.
Yeah, sorry about that, Dave.
Yeah,
no.
it's tough because, yeah, it does end in disappointment, but there are, I'm sure for you and certainly for fans, a lot of great memories. And, you know, we've had a bunch of people already commenting when we were talking about having you on. And, you know, you score the winner in game 5, and, you know, it's still something that sticks with Canucks fans that you had that goal and the way, you know, you guys extend the series there and end up forcing it on to 7. Your memories of that goal in New York.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things where, you know, Pavel's going up the ice, and I don't know if Gus Adams was coming along with us there, but I, you know, the whole lane on my side was wide open, so I thought, oh hell, I'll just go, you know, join the play and see what happens. And like I said, nobody really, you know, came to me or put any pressure on me. So I get the puck over there, and of course Pavel's on the other side of the net, which, you know, if I get it through, I mean, he's going to score. But they kind of took away the pass a little bit more than I expected. And I think Richter also thought I was going to pass, so he was kind of leaning a bit the other way. And, you know, hell, I had, like, I don't know, 6 inches or, you know, maybe a foot on the short side, and all I do is slide it in. I keep telling people I had to turn it sideways to score, but that's not true. There was room there. It was one of the few times where I shot where I wanted, and it went in. So, but yeah, it was terrific. But think about that one. Pavel jumped on me in the corner after, and I had to catch him. So kind of like his, I'm holding on to his legs, and I fell over. And I hyperextended my elbow on that just when he jumped on me. And I honestly thought I wasn't going to play game 6 and 7. Well, just because of it. But you know what? That shut the place up because they came back. I think it was 3-3 when I scored that one. and the place was going bananas. And as soon as I scored, it just it was quiet, and then we kind of took over again, you know, in the game. And then, of course, you know, coming back home, you know, we knew there's a good chance to win game six here for sure.
Absolutely, and you ended up winning game six, went to game seven, mm-hmm. and we know the Rangers ended up winning that game 3-2 despite two goals from Trevor Linden. After game seven and after the initial disappointment, I remember I was 8 years old at the time, and there was a lot of positivity despite being kind of negative of losing the Stanley Cup. What do you remember about coming back to the city after losing game seven?
Well, it was bananas. Well, first of all, I mean, they, you know, they said there was the, you know, the kind of the ruckus downtown, and you know, so what they did is we flew back. I remember we got on, it was like an MGM Grand charter plane. It was all, you know, all fancied up, and you know what, there was I remember getting on the plane, sorry to make a long story here, but we got on the plane, there was a bar there, and you know, there was some appetizers and, you know, some beers and stuff, and a few of the guys were sitting there, and you know, the wives were with us coming back, so you know, guys were up there maybe for 5-10 minutes, and what I remember most about the plane ride is pretty much everyone was asleep, you know, half hour in. You know, we were able to eat. We were just so beat that, you know, slept the whole time. Then showing up here, you know, because of the so-called riots or whatever you want to call it, they bust us around the downtown area just because they thought, you know, someone would come and do something stupid to our bus. But so it was pretty quiet. We got back. But you know what? The reception we got after, everyone was still flying the flags in their cars and on their, you know, their windows. And it was, you know, even now we get a great reception no matter where we go, because of those memories that people have. And we wish they were a little bit better because, you know, fans in Vancouver have been, well, geez, it's almost 50 years yeah. since, you know, the team's been around. You know, they deserve a championship for sure for hanging in that long. But anyway, no, I, you know what, no complaints because this, you know, that run, you know, I guess endeared us, you know, with the city, and, you know, we're real happy that we stayed and, you know, still can be part of the community for sure.
Dave, we really appreciate how you are still a part of the community and going down memory lane with us. Thank you for this today.
Oh, pleasure. Anytime, guys. I, you know, like I said, well, did you say it was 25 years?
25 years this year.
Oh, you know, I look in the mirror every morning, and I think it's 30. yeah, but thanks for bringing all that stuff up. I appreciate it.
Yeah, really. Thank you.
Sportsnet 650.